Peter Hill Explains, where I invite you to join the science teaching conversation with me about
torque converters. I'm going to try and explain this off the top of the head. I'll just give you a little bit of a background. I'm slowly trying to get my faculties back of explaining. I used to be way back in the 80s when Science Centre first opened. It was a gift from Japan to Australia, the National Science Centre. You wouldn't probably know that now. The Japanese gave Australia in 1988 a spanking brand new science centre called the Questacon, and I used to go around there learning my craft during my PhD as an explainer to the general public. So I've got the idea of getting an idea going forward, and of course I've just had my brain bashed apart with this coronary stuff. So apparently when you have a coronary disease, or all bits of pieces, it's I've often described it so my head's been firebombed. I'm trying to actually get back and describe things, so because I'm moving ahead in terms of that. I've been left up to really my own devices to do my own cardiac or my own cognitive rehab. And to everyone's credit, they're now coming in and beginning to sort of discuss getting tests and proper help for me. So you're my victims at the other end. And of course, being a robotics scientist, I've been able to program up the Podomation software, which I tell you of these horrible things. It's not really exciting, it's more living with programming as you are nowadays, trying to add a bit of maths, but then absolutely being whipped and tortured by these insane same bits of software which are sort of crowd built with crowd mistakes in them. They're just sort of imponderable. It's imponderable from a piece of professional software which you buy in a box. You used to buy in a box. Now it's software which is out there. Thousands of different authors reading through. You have to be a mind reader to actually read through the discussion forums to pick up on someone will mention some half a thing and you can actually track something down. It's a different sort of thing. So this is what I'm doing at the moment is just freeing up the mind and doing it. The general theme is let's track through. I'm trying to relearn the periodic table. So I've got the whole periodic table in my head ready to go when you get into the classroom. You can look and discuss. And there's been different angles I've had, sort of different lessons where people have blown up the balloons of the periodic, the atoms to different heights to get the radius, the different radiuses of the atoms going across. I've looked at electron affinity and what are the deep secrets of the periodic table and how does that match in with what we teach kids. So we tend to teach kids about electronegativity at most, possibly ionization energy, but we leave a whole lot of other more chemically relevant things like electron affinity. That's the amount that a element picks up when it picks up an electron, or moving the electron a little bit away, and that's from the metal. And so this is the galvanic things. There's a whole lot of things in there which we make incredibly confusing. So I'm trying to get back on that. So it says sort of different paths I'm going through. One is the technology, one is the actual mental stuff to actually get things explained. And then when I'm going through it, I realise that, hey, hang on, it's not all my mistakes. There are actually some mistakes embedded in what we're actually trying to do. But coming on there, that's the periodic table. Then I realise, look, you might think the platinum group's boring, and I thought, oh, it's really boring. But the fact that the periodic table your fuel goes through the periodic table. Like, it literally passes through the rhodium and then into the platinum. It's the palladium. It's a really hands-on thing, and that your car is basically can teach you so much about the pneumatic tires, the explosions, the chemistry. So much chemistry in driving, but a lot of things that, speaking to people, they don't know about the transmissions system, and you got this fundamental problem that your car, if you slammed on the brake and you actually slammed the brake in your car and your engine's revving up and you suddenly see a little bunny rabbit hopping out in front, oh, I better not crash into that, better hit the brake really quickly. What would happen is that you'd hit the brakes, the car would stop and the engine would snap its drive shaft. So there's got to be something which gives, and this is the torque conversion or transmission. So the transmission is something which is soft. It's not mechanical. There's a point in which there are no, it's sort of like a very soft, intelligent clutch, but it's more intelligent than you can possibly get your mind around. And so there's some physics going on inside your car, and we live in a world where it's unfashionable to understand things. You know, people go, change the topic, I don't want to understand it, don't talk to me about chemistry, don't talk to me about physics, I don't need to know, I just have a credit card and I know someone very reliable, someone who can fix it for me. We have to say goodbye to that part of the audience. We're off on a different track of learning things, and they've got analogies which help us in many, many different ways. So, if you can think your way through science problems, you can actually think your way through ethical and social problems, and perhaps do a lot less harm. Is my overall view. I do find that the people who are really not interested in how things work and the structure of what's actually going on wind up applying their contraction, simplification of life to other areas, and it can simplify a whole lot of innocent people out of the way. And leave them stranded. So that's sort of the ethical reason why I want to talk about this. A clutch is this thing that detaches the engine from the drive shaft, the thing which rotates, which then eventually rotates your wheels. Now, when the engine's doing what it's doing and everything's doing, what they do is you actually have a clutch and there's a mechanical connection. But anywhere else off there, this mechanical connection dissipates, and there's basically a fan or a pump which pumps the transmission fluid in a circular motion. So this is a large dinner plate with fans, fins on it, and the transmission fluid is pushed into the center of this, up in the blades, and is jetted out through these fans. So believe it, you know the hot day classic 30s fans with the cage on the outside, it's like that fan. And that fan, you know how a fan, one fan blows and you have another fan on the other side, it's fan juice, but it's not air being pushed, it's this fluid, transmission fluid. So the transmission fluid has got the probability of good flow. Obviously, it's got to move, so it's got to be, I think it must have below viscosity. I do remember that my transmission went, and this Marco transmission down in Eby Plains opened it up and tapped it, and he he could smell the transmission fluid. He could tell if your transmission was stuffed by just smelling it. There you go. And you have to change your transmission fluid. So it's this fluid. So you are driving, especially when you start off, you are actually driving on this sort of massive hydraulic thing that when you go off, this it's like this garden hose pushing it on. A few people go, this is mad. Now what happens is that just so everything's bearing, it's sort of an inside out thing. So the actual drive shaft goes through this pump. Oh, I think it's called pump and turbine. So the turbine is the, you know, your turbine in a jet, the air blows through and pushes it, spins it around. So there's the spin around stuff. Now, it gets in the engine. The first thing it encounters is the turbine. So the actual engine is spinning and it spins and actually pumps the hydraulic. I'm not joking. Majority of people, there are people who, when I explain these sorts of things, go, you're mad, I don't believe you. So you can do that. You can, but look up about, what is it called, torque converters. It's a piece of technology which is just blinding. So it goes from your engine. The engine's converted to the pump, because the pump's what's going to turn your turbine. So your pump pumps the transmission fluid through the pump, through the turbine. And what happens is that the pump is through this rotating axis, which goes through the center of your turbine, goes up to your pump, and so your turbine can be stabilized by having its bearing close to the motor. So you want your turbine just sitting on your motor, and then the turbine goes around, hooks up from your motor, hooks up over the top and down to your fluid. So how do I describe it? So with your left hand, move your left hand through to your right elbow and lift up, and that is your engine rotating your pump. So move your left hand in a circle, and so that's pumping, and that's pumping the fluid clockwise and backwards out the front of your car. Then to pick up, there is some fans which are between your left hand and where it's come from. So around your the left shoulder is a annular turbine fan which picks it up, and there's another little component in there which is just insane on the inside, which redirects the fluid around it. But what happens is that the fluid is spun and pumped back out the front of the car. Then there's a turbine which picks that up and spins, gets pushed around, so you have a fluid. Your fluid is pumping and spinning your car forward. It's pretty amazing. And this is spinning around, and this has got a bearing directly on the motor. Okay, and then it flares up and goes up over the top of that initial pump, down again and out. So like, it's pretty astonishing stuff. I haven't explained that very much. And then there's a component, it's your torque converter. It's a flow thing, which locks. And what happens with that? So you've got these two. You've got your pump and your turbo. In between it is this impeller, which goes from low revs, and as your car speeds up, this impeller turns off. And so what it means is, it's a pretty amazing device, because what happens is that your engine can, so if your engine goes high speed, its torque drops off. So there's more torque, a lower torque per revolution. So what it means is that you can put your foot in the brake and your pump will speed up, and this inner little thing, I've reached my limit of how much I can explain. This inner thing won't rotate because the whole thing is stationary, and it will actually redirect the fluid which is being pumped down to increase the rate of rotation of your pump. So the pump may not be, your wheels may not want to turn, but the resistance to turning will redirect the fluid around so that the fluid turns even more. So what this does is it actually amplifies your turning rate, the turning force from your motor. So your car may have a certain torque is the turning amount. This device is so intelligent, so amazing, that it does things like allow you to break your brakes and not break your engine, but it also means that when you're going from a stop, your engine can speed up and at a certain available torque, and if your wheels aren't moving, it can actually amplify the turning force of your engine. Obviously it doesn't, your engine is turning at a reasonable rate, your wheels aren't turning, but the actual turning, if you know that thing where you're trying to open the jar, you can actually build up that turning force and actually drive you off. And so your torque converter is this thing which actually pushes you forward, and again, I'm just trying to work out how this would all operate with an electric vehicle. I would expect that all this technology and weight, which is designed for a petrol car, may not be necessary with an electric vehicle, because electric vehicle, you can just up your torque, adjust it. I think it would be all very simple with an electric vehicle, but with your gasoline engine, you have the catalytic converter, you also have this torque converter, and look it up online. I haven't described, I've described it as best I can, and that's the aim of these, this stuff, is to get me explaining things, and I'm not there yet. I feel I look up at a percentage level, and I may need professional help to get me right across all aspects, but it's been a big journey, and I can see I'm beginning to learn again. So when I rest, the learning starts up again, which wasn't necessarily happening because it was just a scramble in my brain. So as my brain's unscrambling, it's beginning to take off as well. So look, thanks for listening, and I've just gradually improved it on my computer. The great thing about my computer, because it's based at home, it's not a laptop. I used to find that when I used to program and run things off my laptop, my laptop would be actually taking a fair beating as I took it from classroom to classroom and just struggled to pick up a signal, a wild signal, and set things up. So this is one of the great things, is that because the computer is sitting on a desk, it's now really stable, and touch wood, nothing blows up before I can back it all up. Thank you very much for listening, and I'll get on to the next podcast if I can think of one. Thanks a lot. Another
podcast, another story comes to a close. It's been a pleasure sharing this moment in time with you. May you discover truly amazing things, understand them, and tell others. Thanks for listening.